Have you ever wished that you could have joined Moses and the children of Israel when they stood before God and God came and spoke directly to them? I often have to think of ordinations, particularly those that where our brother or brothers are chosen by lot, as a time very similar to that, because we wait on the Lord and then the Lord speaks. And this evening's process is the Lord isn't guessing yet as to who he will choose. The Lord will simply use the lot this evening to reveal his choice. And it's in that confidence that we wait on him. And in that joy, I can truly say that. And so it is with joy and yet certainly with a lot of reverence that we come here this evening and trust that the Lord will speak to us. May the Lord quiet our hearts before him. Let's have two numbers of song at this time, and then Brother Gary will be leading us in a long meditation, a sermonette first, and then we'll have the ordination following that, and then Brother Abe Yoder from Grove City, Minnesota will be speaking to us. So let's have two songs at this time.
Let's begin with number 71, Glory to God on High. Number 71.
Glory to God on High.
Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need that grace, mercy, and peace. In order for the church to be well-fed and well-led, there are two things that I'd like to think about tonight. And first, I'd like to have you think with me from the Epistle to Titus, where Paul says this way. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul's writing to Titus, a man that he'd put in charge of the church at Crete, and he said this further, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. I just want to pause to say to the congregation here a heartfelt thank you for the godliness that prevails. And you know, we always need to grow. But I thank God for the way that you work for Him. I thank God for the fact that you make it easy, relatively speaking, to serve amongst you. And I know that sometimes it's work we gather, but most times our work is just a common engagement in finding the will of God. Several months ago, we men gathered on a Sunday evening, and it was a gift that God gave us, the way that we could work together in the planning for this evening. So, thank you, brothers and sisters, for what you give for the Lord and the church. So, for this reason, Paul says, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Well, he goes on to say more about the elder's task, and time doesn't allow me to say very much about that, but he does say to Titus, be careful, be vigilant, and rebuke as needed. But I'm back to this paragraph I just read. This paragraph in which he said, appoint men that, and then he lists a number of things. I read in Gene Getz's book, and I've forgotten the title, but he combined the paragraph here with a paragraph in Timothy where he came up with a list of 20 qualifications for leadership. There were some in the positive, and there were some in the negative. 13 in the positive, I think. Maybe 7 in the negative. And as I look at that list, I come up with a basic qualification and a basic call that we have so that the church is well tended, well led, and well fed. This summary word that I see here is disciplined. Don't you agree? that if a man is faithful in these things, he's disciplined. Now, a leader who's going to be successful is going to be able to lead others because he's conquered himself, or God has conquered his spirit. You know, the words disciple and discipline come from the same root. A disciple learns to accept the directions and the control, the discipline willingly that comes from without. But when he really grows up, then he subjects himself to controls from within. A much more rigorous discipline. And those who rebel against authority and scorn self-discipline do not qualify for spiritual leadership. And so, any man, young or old, of leadership caliber will work while others are wasting time. He will study while others sleep, and he'll pray while others play. Now, I'm not saying that recreation doesn't have a place, but I'm saying that it's in its place. Now, I didn't come to just lay it on tonight, but to recognize that this is a hallmark of one that we respect, can work with, and follow. Now, there are a couple of more things that I'd like to pick out. There's another thing I'd like to pick out of chapter 2 of Titus. So this is not now just talking, as far as I'm concerned, to ministers. Because we recognize that the mature Christian man is going to be learning these things in the discipleship of Christ. In fact, he goes on to say that older men should be sober and reverent and temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience, and the older women likewise. And then he says that the young women should be also admonished to love their husbands and their children, to be discreet and chaste, and I'm moving on. And then the young men should be sober-minded, similar to older men, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. That's the phrase I'm going to pick up. So for all of us as believers, for all of us as followers of Christ, the gospel message calls us to be a pattern, to be an example in doing what is good. So think with me. We're hiking up a Colorado mountain. What do you do as you go with your children and your families? You kick the stones out of the pathway. You guide them around the obstacles. Or you pick them up and carry them. That's being a good example. And we can do that in the Christian faith too. Being careful and yea diligent to be careful to remove the things that would make another stumble, and to be careful in the pattern that we give. It can touch so many things. It can get so practical here in the things that we have, the places we go, the amusement or entertainment that we choose. Really, when I go to the definition of amusement, I stumbled when I said that. I don't really think that for the Christian that's a good choice, because amusement, by definition, means not thinking. I admit, though, that there are other definitions that creep into the language, so I prefer the other term of perhaps entertainment over that, even though maybe that has its limits. In Romans 14, along this line, Paul says, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way." So we're being a pattern again, not putting a stumbling block out, but being like the hiker who's careful for younger fellow hikers and others behind. In Philippians, Paul says something that a man following hard after Christ can say. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Let us take regular inventory of our lives so that we're sure that we're not a stumbling block to others who are following. So one of the things that all of us believers can do, are called to do, is to learn the admonition of the elder apostle here, that we are patterns of good works for those that follow. Now, I don't know if you want to follow me over to Acts, but it's in Acts that I'm going to pick out another one of the qualifications for those who provide leadership, servant leadership in the congregation. And I'm going to go first to Acts chapter 6. And verse 3. And the setting here is the choosing of the deacons. And the instruction is this: therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, all of the other qualifications are important. And maybe just the disciplined life is up there in the top tier. But this one, I believe, has got to be indispensable. That's to be Spirit-filled. Spiritual leadership can only be exercised by Spirit-filled men. Other qualities are desirable, but this is indispensable, so that the church of God can be well-fed and well-led. Now we notice here, thumbing back a page to chapter 4, that Peter, in addressing the Sanhedrin in verse 8, said, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and he addressed them. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an example from this book of history. And then I want to go next to chapter 7 and verse 55. Where Stephen, who was one of those deacons that was ordained, is nearly expiring as he's being stoned. In verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I like the picture of that, how that Jesus Christ is looking down with interest, I believe, prayerful intercession for this who's the first martyr of the Christian church. Well, I don't know for sure if he was what he was doing, but it says he was standing and he saw him standing. I wonder if he might have been doing that. I don't know. In chapter 11, we have an example, but I'm going to skip over that. Go to chapter 13 and then come back. In chapter 13, verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, and then he rebuked this man for his needs, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And now turning back to chapter 11, where I have an example, we have another example, and a man who illustrates some important things, another important quality that I'd like to spend just a few minutes on. But it's in the latter part of the chapter here, beginning at verse 19, where we will start. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. But when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, for it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Barnabas, it's said here in verse 28. Can I read my fine print? That he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And in the verse ahead, it says that he encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. We know that the name Barnabas means son of encouragement or son of consolation. And he encouraged them. You know, when I go out to the playground or behind our house, and one of the things that my grandchildren love to have me do is to push them on the swing. So they may be sitting there and they say, "Grandpa, give me a push." So I give him a push, and it leads to more. And you know, with time, surely they're going to learn to put themselves into it and pump it and do it themselves. You and I can do the same kind of thing in the Christian brotherhood, giving each other a push, a word of encouragement. This is the way. And stand fast in the faith of the Lord until the end. You know, that's my role in life. Can you all join me in this as fellow believers? My role, my opportunity is to give others a push, a helping hand, encouraging others. Well, it's interesting that Barnabas did this so well in other ways, in other times. It says in Acts 4 that he gave generously to the needy of the church. And then he stood up for Paul when no one trusted him, and with reason. But he encouraged him and nurtured him in his preaching and mentored him so that he became the apostle that he was. And then he also took a great risk with a young man who was a failure, John Mark. And he restored him back to usefulness so that Paul later said that he admitted that he became a great assist to him. Barnabas, a man of encouragement. Spirit-filled, a blessing. And you know, we can all do that. Young and old can do that. Encourage. And we can especially remember how it felt to us in times past when we felt weak or immature, to have somebody stand beside us, for somebody to support us, somebody to give us a push. What a blessing. In Colossians, Paul says that their hearts may be encouraged. It's chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, in small groups, prayer groups, accountability groups, one of the benefits there is that we can open up our hearts and we can share with each other and encourage each other and assist each other. We find out that other people open up their caring and prayerful understanding to our needs. What an assist it can be. Our state has a song called Home on the Range. And there's a little phrase in there that catches the spirit of this. Where never is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Now, you visitors to this state would probably agree that you fairly often see a blue sky. But you might also have to admit, as I do, that we sometimes have discouraging words here. But it's all right for us to think the ennobling thought that we would be encouragers, that we would not tear each other's confidences down. You know, courage is often found in groups. In the latter verses of Acts chapter 28, verses 14 and 15, Paul is now nearing Rome. He's a prisoner. And so we went toward Rome. Put yourself in Paul's position here. You're chained, right? You don't know what's up ahead. You've appealed to the emperor. Will it be a long prison term? Will it be acquittal? What's up ahead? And Paul had written ahead to the Romans, and he said to them that I'm eager to come see you. I don't think that means, well, he said, I'm prepared. How did he say it? He said, let me get off of that. I took it to mean, whatever the word was, that he's eager to come see him. Or to see them, excuse me. But then as he's coming, in Acts 28 it says, and so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God. And took courage. And my point is that we often take courage or discouragement in groups. Now, it may not always be the same. We may sometimes be discouraged in solitude, but we're encouraged when others help bear the load. And for those of you that tramp some distance to share it in our experience tonight, I'm sure that seeing you has brought that courage, that blessing to those of us that you came to support. Do you ask your friends, is there any grass growing on your path? That is, are you keeping your path worn? That is, are you doing what you ought to do in the Christian life? Are you meeting physical needs? Are you helping others with your efforts and strength? Do you share with them money for their needs, their financial needs? Paul said to Philemon, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And once again, a personal note. To all of you who have chosen to be part of the church here at Center, who weren't born here, I feel the same way. I thank God that you have, by your presence, by your contribution, by your choice, you are encouraging me. What can I do? I can encourage. I can be a Barnabas. And you know what? All of us can help each other in this way. Now, I said in the beginning that I believe that there are two pretty primary, pretty basic, overriding qualifications to provide for the flock of God, and there to be that men are disciplined and that they're spirit-filled. When you start to think about, especially the first part, these characteristics of Christian maturity, that's what they are. It's not really only qualifications for leadership. It's marks of Christian maturity. And in a healthy body of believers, there is a group of men who are spiritually mature. And the larger the group, the larger the body, the larger this group tends to be. All of these in this group are called by God to serve the Lord, the church, and their fellow men in various ways. So we naturally look to this group for leadership. And that's in all the aspects of the church, but tonight we've got this in mind. So when we ordain, we nominate men from this group. And though usually not all, in our case, not nearly all of the men from this group are nominated or ordained. You know, the way we practice it here, if the voice of the church is decisive, then we follow that voicing and nomination with an ordination without the use of the lot. And when we discover that there's a group of qualified men that receive sufficient nominations, we use a drawing of the lots. We do this prayerfully to clarify God's call. And I believe God will work through the church here in a wonderful way to provide for his people. So my encouragement is severalfold, that we support these men who have been willing to serve in this way, and that we support each other, all of us in our roles. And if you're close enough to a brother to discover that he wants to tell you something that he goes through, listen. The same for sisters, that we encourage each other, and that we encourage each other to not give up in our walk with the Lord, that we encourage each other to be a pattern of good works, that God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven, his church can be built up, and God's name can be glorified. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come with faith, with joy, with expectation, with solemnity. We pray that you would lead us in this time. Pray that you would strengthen us for the work that we each have to do. And Lord Jesus, I come to you now full of confidence and joy, knowing that you never, never give us a task. Never give us a trial, never give us any calling. But what you give us, the enabling grace for that. Oh Lord, we need that. And oh Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just have your way in our lives tonight and always, filling us, each one, that we can sense who we are, where to go, and how to be men and women and boys and girls that are a blessing to be around. Guide these next steps. We commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm humbled this evening to be a part of this process. I am grateful to be a part of God's kingdom and a part of his church. And it is a special blessing to serve as a leader here at Center. And we'd just like to echo Brother Gary's gratitude to you as a congregation for the ways that you make life a blessing and our walk as ministers, our work as ministers, I'm going to say easy in many respects. And we thank you for that. The time has come that we will look to the Lord to indicate to us through the drawing of the lot who he has chosen, which two of these three brothers that he has chosen to serve in the work of the ministry here. I'm going to be asking two brothers to help, to assist me in arranging the lot, and then I will be asking Brother Lee Nisley to assist in giving the charge to these two brothers, that is to the two that draw the lot. The two brothers I'd like to ask to assist me in arranging the lot is Brother Laverne Miller and Brother Conrad Miller. So Conrad, if you could come to the back and just wait till I call you, I'd appreciate that. Before we go further, I'd like to just bow our heads once more in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening again grateful that you have provided for us in through the Lord Jesus, and that he is the head of the church. Tonight we take great comfort in the fact that you take an intense interest in the work that is going on right here, right now, here at Center. We thank you for each one of these three brothers, and just ask that you would guide each step. I pray you would guide the hearts and the hands of the brothers who will help to arrange the lot, and I pray that you would guide the hands of the three as they receive their books, with knowing that, with the confidence that you will provide, you will answer this evening through this way. So we commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Laverne, would you please come forward? I have here three books and two slips of paper. Please place these two in two separate books so that nothing is showing, so it's carefully concealed, if you would please, on page number 300. 300. And then shuffle the books. Thank you. Now, Brother Conrad, would you please come retrieve these three books and arrange them on the table in front of us, in front of me here. Let us bow one more time. Thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which two of these three that you've chosen. We commit them to you. We bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, you may receive the book that you feel directed to, or as you choose. First slip is found in the book of Brother Arlen Isley. And the second one is found in the book of Brother Dwight Miller. Brother Arlen and Sister Brenda, would you stand? Brother Arlen, are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself up to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister of the Word of God in His church? Do you promise herewith to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and to preach and teach them according to the understanding of historic Anabaptism, and to abide in the Lord with unchanging fidelity to the end? Are you willing to conduct the church or congregation in which you shall serve in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel, the directions of the fellowship of churches and the councils of the local church, and in all things to show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? You may kneel. Let me, I'm going to let you pray for Brandon, and we'll both lay hands on all our hands. Father in heaven, as we pause in this moment, we commit Arlen and Brenda to you, and as we deliver this charge to faithfulness and to following you, I just pray, Father, that they would receive it with gratitude, with openness, and with grace, and you would give them strength day by day. Just ask, Lord, that you would direct in their lives and in their work that you, Father, will be glorified and the church edified. Brother Arlen, upon the confession and the promises which you have made now before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His church, charge and ordain you to go and preach the gospel in its purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish the unconverted to repent, to teach, to instruct, comfort and encourage the believer, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. Likewise, give heed unto yourself. Walk circumspectly. Read the word. Meditate on its precious precepts. Pray without ceasing. And in all things, seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue these things, for in so doing, you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. Amen. And now, Father, I just again lift Brother Arlen to you and trust you to walk beside him and guide him and bless him. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray too for Brenda and her role in supporting Arlen. And Father, I pray that as she does that, as she looks up to him, respects him, and supports him in his ministry, Father, I just pray that you bless her. Bless her children as they grow up. And pray that this could be a blessing to them as they see that Arlen working in the work of the church. And just pray that you'd be honored and glorified as they raise their family for you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for their faithfulness thus far, and just pray it should be a blessing to the church here at Center. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Brenda, God bless you. And he is faithful. He will look out for you. Brother Dwight and Sister Karen, you may stand. Brother Dwight, are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself up to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister of the Word of God in His church?
I am.
Do you promise herewith to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and to preach and teach them according to the understanding of historic Anabaptism, and to abide in the Lord with unchanging fidelity unto the end?
I do.
Are you willing to conduct the church or congregation in which you shall serve in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel, the directions of the fellowship of churches, and the counsels of the local church, and in all things to show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? You may kneel. Dear Father, as Brother Dwight receives this charge, I pray that you would give him your unction, you would pour out your spirit on him, you would give him your grace day by day. Thank you for him. Thank you for their family. Just ask that you would attend them with your grace and peace. May you be honored. Now, Brother Dwight, receive this charge. Upon this confession and these promises which you have now made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His church, charge and ordain you to go and preach the gospel in its purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish the unconverted to repent, to teach, to instruct, comfort and encourage the believers. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. Likewise, give heed unto yourself. Walk circumspectly. Read the word. Meditate on its precious precepts. Pray without ceasing. And in all things, seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue in these things, for in so doing, you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. And now, God, just pray your outpouring of blessing on Brother Dwight. Pray you would make his ministry fruitful, that you would give him the strength day by day, that you would encourage when he needs courage, and you would walk with him and guide with him. O Lord, lead him and bless him for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, I thank you that when you call us, you also give us the grace and strength to carry out that call.
Amen.
And Father, I pray that for Karen tonight, as she stands with Dwight in this call. Father, I pray that you would help her to be a blessing to him and to the congregation here, mm-hmm. as she supports and respects him and mm-hmm. his calling. Just pray a special blessing on her as she, the children at home, pray that you'd bless them in a special way mm-hmm. in this calling that Dwight has taken on. And mm-hmm. Father, just pray that you would even work in their lives and pray that this could be a blessing to them also. Mm-hmm. So I just pray that through their family, through the children and the parents here, Father, just pray that it could be a blessing to the church and a glory to you. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord bless you.
To Brother Arlen and Brother Dwight, it's with some pleasure that I give you this charge, aware that it brings with it work. There are times when I have the opportunity to commission people who go into third world countries, and sometimes it tears at my heart because I know what they will face in culture and things like in culture changes. I can tell you honestly that I don't have that same foreboding here about you receiving this charge. It's a gift from God. It is a stewardship you've been given, not a sentence. And may the God of all grace walk with you and give you peace. This time, would you, Brother John, just lead us in that song, He Gives More Grace? Shall we stand for that? In those riches that we have our sufficiency. At this time, we'll look to Brother Abe Yoder.